Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today what we're going to talk about is an income stream that I just added, which will add a high four figures, possibly low five figures income to mywifequitherjob.com.
And now all of a sudden, you are not only on the bandwagon, you're leading the train through the prairie.
I mean, just to be clear, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to keep it. Okay. We're going to see, because there are some disadvantages. Plus, There's like a pride hit also. Okay, so should we just mention what it is?
What are we talking about?
Yes. Yeah, we're talking about display advertising here.
Yes.
So if you go over to mywifequitherjob.com now and you look at some articles, you'll probably notice a ton of ads on there. And the timing was actually just horrible because I added these ads right after my book launch. Like, I just try to do everything before Seller Summit. And then I realized that a lot of people are probably going to be coming on the site because of the book. And I don't want them seeing like a bunch of ads when they come on the site, right?
So did you take them off, or what'd you do?
What I did is I took them off on all pages except for the blog posts, certain blog posts.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to keep it that way too, because you want like the forward-facing part of your site to be clean, in my opinion.
I agree. Although sometimes your homepage is one of your highest traffic pages, so you do lose out on revenue.
It is one of the highest. That's a dilemma right there. Probably leaving money on the table.
So if you're not familiar with ad networks, it's pretty simple. Basically, you work with an outside company to put display, so images of ads on your site, and you get paid when those ads are shown to visitors to your site. So no one has to click on anything. No one has to take an action. It's just the actual page view that compiles to earn you revenue from an ad network. So that's why it's kind of set it and forget it. You put the ads on and you make money in your sleep. But there are some negative drawbacks to it, which is why Steve was so hesitant to do it for so many years, putting it on my wife quitter job.
I mean, what put me over the edge was Spencer came to office hours and he was like, oh yeah, this is the first time I've done it, but I put on display ads and I'm doing like 15K a month. I'm like, what? And then Mike also told me too, he put ads on his site and we have similar audiences and he was making like, you know, mid to high four figures a month. And so Mike already told me that didn't push me over the edge, but then Spencer did it. And that pushed me over the edge. So
it's funny because I think I first put display ads on my site in 2009. And back then there was really only one main network for like my niche of blogging. And that was BlogHer, the BlogHer ad network. And they were like a huge network. They didn't just do display ads. And they're still around. I don't know what they're doing these days, but they did display ads. You could do like sponsored campaigns through them, things like that. But I worked with them on the ads. And I can remember, I think I still have this. It was my very first ad network check. And it was $89 that I made from. But at that point, my blog wasn't making a lot of money. It was making, you know, because I'd only been blogging seriously for about a year. And so I was making, you know, $25 here, $100 there. So when I got that first monthly check of $89, it made me realize that, wait a second, if I continue to drive traffic and I grow my site, this 89 will turn into 189, which will turn into 1,089, which will turn into five figures some months, depending on the traffic. So it was that first little check that made me realize, like, this is something that I don't have to, like, work with a brand about. I don't have to put in affiliate links. So I was very excited to get on an ad network back in the day. And I've been on like 10 different networks over the years. Most of them don't exist anymore, but definitely something that I think if you are already creating content and you have some traffic to your site, it's worth looking into.
So what's funny is I actually applied to Blogger. They only take women.
Did you? Yes. Back in the day. I don't know. Maybe it's changed. It's probably changed.
I thought I could get by because of the blog title, but I got denied.
Did you? I got denied. And $89 you did not earn.
But they were pretty strict on who they accepted, like traffic-wise too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you must have had some amount of traffic.
I did. And it used to be that the problem was, as you know, like my blog posts aren't as easily monetized, a lot of them, right? There's not a lot of opportunity for revenue. And that was the reason why I really liked the ad network, is because affiliate links didn't always work well. Sponsored content, you were sort of relying on another brand, but the ads I could put on and I didn't have to try to find like the perfect fit, because those, one thing about ad networks is they target to the person on your site. So they're usually retargeting those people with other websites they've already visited. So like when I go to a website and someone has display advertising, I usually see like home improvement store ads. You probably see e-commerce type ads when you go to a website. Everything's targeted to the user.
Actually, you know what ads I get? Bumblebee Linens ads. Like the whole page is all Bumblebee Linens ads. I got to be careful not to accidentally tap on them.
Don't click. Don't click. So that was the reason why I liked it. And it used to be that you had 100,000 page views a month was like the threshold back in the day. It has changed dramatically now. And I think with some of the networks, you can get in with like 20 to 30,000 page views a month. So it's really expanded.
Well, it's actually lower than that. And there's actually networks where there is no limit on, nice. on the bottom side. Those probably aren't going to pay out as much, or their right. fill rate is going to be lower. So when I was doing my research on which one to do, I know you like AdThrive, right? What is AdThrive mm-hmm. called these days? You said they just changed your name.
I think it's like they changed it to like Reactive or something like that. It's such a silly name. I'm like, they did this whole big, like, we've rebranded. This is amazing. And I'm like, AdThrive was so easy to remember. I don't even remember the new name. That's how bad it is.
I think it's the dumbest thing that they could do, because everyone knows them by that name. Right. And no one's going to recognize it. It's like the dumbest thing ever. I don't know. Maybe they have some other, I'm sure they have another reason for doing it, but.
Yeah. Maybe I think there was some investor change or something like that as well. That was probably a bit of it. So like total side note, but anyone who likes celebrity gossip. So one of the part owners of AdThrive is Andrew Hsu. Do you remember him? He's an actor.
Yes. From 90210.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I think he was in 902. So total, but I wonder if this had to play a part in it. So he owns part of AdThrive. He was married to that anchor that was having the affair with the other anchor on like CBS, the morning show people. Remember? And then they just both got fired.
Okay, that part you know I don't. About this? Yeah, no, okay. I don't. Yeah.
So he's married to this anchor on like one of the morning shows. She and another co-host were like basically getting together, and everyone knew about it. And then it kind of came to light. They got fired, and then all of a sudden, like AdThrive changed, rebranded. So I'm wondering if he got out of it, or if there was something, because they're obviously getting a divorce now. So I'm wondering if that didn't play into the whole like maybe some other people came in, there was a brand change, things like that. That's my conspiracy theory for AdThrive, but
okay.
Doesn't really matter.
I mean, if I wanted to get out, I would keep the same name so I could cash out for more money. But that's just
100%. Yes. So anyway, AdThrive, you've never liked them for one very specific reason.
Yeah, and in fact, when I was looking, like they don't really do much about page load speed. Like you can load everything at the end, but it's still bad for Google Core Web Vitals. Yeah. And so it does slow down your site. Maybe not visibly to the end user, but in Google's eyes, which in my opinion is very important, it's a slow website. I'm actually shocked that they don't fix this, because Mediavine, Mediavine's the one I ultimately went with. Their mantra is like a fast, speedy experience, because if you have a fast, speedy experience, that means more ads can be shown, which in theory should improve your fill rate and all that stuff. So that's why I went with Mediavine. Are you on AdThrive right now, or Reactive, or whatever it's called? Okay.
Yeah, I am surprised too, only because I actually paid someone from Upwork to go in, and basically what Mediavine does automatically for you or through their plugin or however it works, I paid someone to do that on my site so that I had the same experience as someone who's using Mediavine does, because it isn't integrated into AdThrive. They haven't provided that for people. Now, AdThrive has a premium tier, which is like crazy, like million page views kind of thing. And I'm wondering if maybe on their premium tier, there's some level of you're getting that. But definitely if you're under that like highest tier for them, you don't get any of the, you know, things that you're getting just with anybody gets it on Mediavine is my knowledge of that.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this right now, so Mediavine's limit is 50K. And I think AdThrive's is 100K. But from asking around, and I didn't try AdThrive, but from asking around with other bloggers in the same niche using AdThrive, I think the payout's about the same, actually.
I do too. And the interesting thing about how they pay out, because it's changed over time. So it used to be you got paid per impression, but now they basically, you get paid differently based on where the ad sits on your site. So some ads are way more valuable than other ads. So if you're willing to put an ad inside the content, so like you have text, like a blog post, and then you put an ad in the middle and then more text, and you're not doing this, the plugin is automatic. This is all automated through the plugin. Those ads pay more than just the ads you see on the sides of the site. Those are like some of the lesser paying ads. They're probably the least valuable, but they're also the ones that are the least obtrusive, right? So it kind of makes sense. So if you think about how the ads pay out, the more intrusive the ad, the more you're going to make from it. So if you're willing to put an ad that covers the image, have you seen these?
That covers the image. What do you mean? What image?
So you know how we use images in our content to break up the verbiage, right? The words. So, you know, a lot of times, like, especially for you, you're using like stock images or AI generated things. In mine, it's usually a step-by-step instructional process. So the images matter a lot as far as like showing, it's like I'm showing people how to do something, whereas yours is more just of a filler.
Correct.
So you can actually have ads put on top of those images. So basically when those images show on your site, an ad is covering the image and people have to click to see the image. So those ads pay a lot. They also can run a video over your image. So those ads pay a ton too. For me, I turn those off on almost everything because my images are actually really important to the content. But if my images weren't as important, I might try some of those because those are some of the highest paying ads you can run on your site.
I didn't see that option actually. Maybe
so it is in AdThrive. It might not be in Mediavine, but
okay. One thing they do offer, which I definitely turned off, was interstitial ads. So these are ads where, you know, if you go from page to page, there's an ad that takes up the entire page between like page views.
Yeah. Those pay well too, but once again, user experience is crud. So
yeah.
I'm curious for you though, because one of your main goals on your website is to get people on your email list, to get them in the mini course.
Yes. That's the reason why. I'll let you finish your question. Sorry.
Well, and one of the reasons why you've been so hesitant all these years is because you don't want to distract the person from doing what you want them to do. So we talk about on sales pages, like you never want to put an ad on a sales page. Well, for you, your email sign up is almost a sales page for you because it's so important for you to get those email addresses. So now that you've been running the ads for a couple of weeks, what are you seeing in regards to email signups?
Yeah, it looks like a 10% drop right now, 10 to 15% drop. So it remains to be seen. And it's pretty obvious why that's happening, right?
Yeah.
People probably aren't. Although I check my bounce rate and time on site, those have not changed.
That doesn't surprise me.
That has not changed. But I think, you know, with all the ads, there's so many more calls to action, like all over the place, that it's more distracting. So people are less likely to click on the button that brings up the pop-up.
You know, what's interesting about ads is I felt this way 10 years ago. I thought people are ad blind. I mean, I don't really notice them anymore on websites because you see them so often. So I've always wondered about the effectiveness of display advertising, just like the effectiveness of an ad in a magazine, right? You're reading through People magazine or something. Do you really notice the ads in those magazines anymore? Or are you just flipping through the pages? And 10 years ago, I was like, ad networks probably aren't going to stay around too long, but they're still growing strong. So it's interesting to see how, I've always wondered how effective it is for the advertiser, but it hasn't seemed to matter.
Well, I don't read the same trashy magazines that you do, but
Consumer Reports, they don't even take ads, do they?
I will say that the retargeting part is probably the best converting, because if you've already been on a brand and you see it on a random website, you know, you might be, this happened to me before. Like, so I bought this portable pull-up bar. I think I might've shown this to you. And I saw that on the website and I clicked on it, but then I wasn't ready to buy it. But then it started following me all over. And it was actually because of one of those ads that reminded me I wanted that thing. And then I ended up buying it.
I mean, I personally like retargeting ads because I'm the queen of sitting in line waiting for something and like basically window shopping and then forgetting and hoping I'm retargeted with whatever I was looking at because I don't remember. So yeah, I love retargeting, but yeah, I would see that those are probably still very effective on websites.
What I question though is like, there's actually videos that play on my site now in the lower right. Like, is anyone really going to be watching a video with no sound? Those pay out the most, yes. I noticed. Yeah,
they do. So I was going to say, if you allow videos on your site, those are absolutely the highest paying. But I've wondered the same thing because I know on AdThrive, I don't know if this is still the case because I just turned it off, but it's an option to toggle sound off or on. But you absolutely want to toggle it off because can you imagine like just browsing the internet somewhere and all of a sudden the ad just starts playing out of your phone or on your computer and you're sitting in a doctor's office or something like that? Just a terrible user experience.
That actually used to be big on the web back in the day, right? People used to just play sound and that sort of thing. But yeah, I'm sure the people listening don't care about like whether the advertising works. They're more concerned about the payout. So most of you, or I shouldn't say most of you, but a lot of you people listening probably haven't hit the thresholds of 50K or 100K. So I think the next best after those two is this platform called Ezoic. Mm-hmm. The threshold for that is 10,000. There's also one called Monumetric, where the threshold, I believe, is 10,000. Although I read, and I don't know if this is true because I didn't actually try it, I read that they'll take people less than that, but you have to pay some sort of setup fee of like $100 to get everything set up.
Yes. Yeah.
And then there's like the ones that have nothing, like Google AdSense, which is what I was using for many years, actually. And then there's Media.net, which I'm surprised those guys are still around, but they are.
They were so spammy back in the day. They actually were a sponsor of they might have been a sponsor of my event, actually.
They're that old? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're very old. You know who they sponsored? It was FinCon. They were the premier sponsor of FinCon one year. And they were really pushing people out. They were trying to get you off the ad network you were on and onto a different one. But yeah, that was. They seemed super spammy to me. I think too, like if you're starting out and you can get in one of the networks, I would do it. I mean, it doesn't hurt to try it, even if you have to pay a small setup fee, because it might just give you a little bit of income to get started. And what I found too is when I got that first little $89 check, it really motivated me to focus on traffic strategies. Because it's like, we talk about this all the time in blogging because people ask, should you do blogging or e-commerce first? What should you do? And with blogging, you work really hard for like 6 months, 9 months, a year, and you don't really see any like return on your investment as far as money goes. You might see like we have friends, like not friends, but people in the course, they're also our friends, who've written books and gotten published and been on crazy, like our friends, John and Sharon, John's on the media all the time. They're making all this progress, but you're not seeing the financial benefit of it yet, right? And so even that $89 check just kind of gives you that little motivation to double down your efforts and get focused on the things that will make you more money.
I don't know if I 100% agree with that. I think it just depends on the type of blog. Like, because I was thinking to myself this, like, is the money worth it for what I'm getting? I mean, it's a decent chunk of change.
Yeah.
But is it affecting my credibility? Like, is someone going to go on my site after knowing that I hit the Wall Street Journal bestseller list, come on my site and go, oh my God, this is like a spammy site. Look at all these ads, right?
And no, then because think CNN's less. Running ads.
What's that?
The big news sites run ads. Like every major web publication has ads on it. Every single one of them.
And then the hit to the email subs. I guess I haven't done this analysis recently, but once upon a time, an email sub was worth $20 to me.
Yeah.
So is it worth it? Like when you're first starting out, yeah, I don't know. You put ads on your site early. And here's a funny story. I actually put, do you remember Buy Sell Ads? Do you remember that company?
Yes.
I had Buy Sell Ads on my site. And if you guys don't know what that is, it's basically these dedicated slots that you can have on your site, in your content, wherever, where anyone can just PayPal you essentially and put their ad on your site for a set duration.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do the ad networks, and you get to keep almost all of your money in this case, which is the main benefit. And it's fully automated. Like they upload the creative, hit go, and then it gets displayed. And so I remember making like maybe a couple $100 a month from these slots. Mm-hmm. And they used to always sell out. I'm like, huh, maybe I'm not charging enough. And then I realized that most of those ads were from gambling and some were for porn. And I was like, okay, I got to take this off. Yeah.
So I sold, so I created my own buy sell because that was back in the day when I was just like, I'm going to do this better myself, which was probably not the best attitude to have. But I had my my tech guy create this, like, basically he built me a plugin that did what buy sell ads did. So the transaction went through me, like they couldn't just do it automated because I had to approve the ads. But it was like this rotating thing where like the media got uploaded and stuff, and then it would rotate through the site, you know, every so many hours. And like, and the, I always had them filled too. It was mostly homeschool companies, which was fine with me. It's not like I wasn't advertising for gambling, but it was great because I was making, you know, $150, $200 a month. And I remember I charged $25 a slot. Like looking back on that, I was like, oh my God.
Do you still have that plugin? I bet
you're looking at this from the perspective of you now.
Yeah.
It's probably somewhere, probably buried somewhere on my site. But I think you're looking at it from the wrong perspective as far as like, if you were just getting started again and you weren't making a lot of money, and then all of a sudden you could make $100 a month, that is motivating, right? To keep, like, I actually think it is really motivating. It's like probably not motivating for you today because you have all these other ways to make money. And so this could potentially take away from some of those. But early on, you know, I think for you, it would have been a motivating factor.
Well, let's take Sharon and John here. They're doing, I think their site's called trendingstocks.io. I'm sorry, Sharon, if I'm getting it wrong, but their stock trading site, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going on a site to get financial advice, would I want to see ads for random things?
I bet if you went to MSNBC, you'd see ads.
MSNBC is different because they're an established network. But if I'm going to like a no-name site where I really am not familiar with the author, and I go on and I see a bunch of ads, I might think less of that site personally.
I think that's what we think, but I don't think the average consumer even, I honestly don't think people notice them. I also think because they're so targeted these days, like if you're on their site and in the sidebar, there's an Amazon ad for the composter that you put in your cart and then forgot about. Like your first thought is, oh, I need to go back and get that composter. Not like, oh, I don't trust this site because this composter is on the sidebar.
I mean, you're probably right. I haven't been running it for that long, but I just know every time I go on my site now, I'm like, oh my God, look at all these ads.
I hate myself.
That was my first reaction the first week because it's a lot of ads. Like literally the way it works on mobile is that every page view that you scroll is an ad. Mm-hmm. So there's always one ad on your screen at any given time.
Yeah. Which is why I think if you choose to go this route and you want to put display ads on your site, that's something that you really need to think about is where your ad placement is going to be. You know, the default is usually like a million ads, right? Like they because the ad networks want to make as much money as possible. They want to fill your site with ads because they're taking a cut, right? That's how they make money. So I think when you start doing that, like, let's talk about exactly what you did when you put the ads on your site. Where did you decide to keep them? And where did you say, I'm not going to put any ads on this page? Because you have control over that when you go with an ad network. You can decide where these ads show up.
You kind of have control on media.net. You can specify the frequency of ads within the content. You can specify whether you want on the sidebar, the top. There's a slot at the bottom, which is actually really high paying. It just kind of literally floats on the bottom of your website. I actually use the recommended settings, and then I've adjusted them multiple times. Again, I've only been on Mediavine for like 3 weeks now, and I don't think any of the tweaks really made that much of a difference. I was monitoring my bounce rate, my time on site. All the metrics seem to be solid, like they haven't dropped. So I moved them back to the recommended settings. as far as I can tell, nothing's, maybe you're right. Maybe people are ad blind.
I feel like they are for the most part, unless they're ad blind until they see that thing that they forgot to buy. Right. Until they get retargeted with the running shoes they were looking at, or the thing on Amazon, or the website that they clicked over from Instagram and then forgot or went to bed or felt whatever it is. I think for the most part, people don't mind them. I think when people start to get irritated is especially on mobile, and I get irritated about this, when you can't read something because the ad pops up and the button to close off of it is like hidden or too small. And so you're basically trying to read or get information and you can't get the information because the ad is covering it up. I think that's when people get frustrated.
Yeah. So the only trade-off I made was I didn't want ads in the sidebar because for some reason, psychologically, like when I'm on a site, if it's just limited to the content portion and not all the way around the site, it made me feel a little bit better about myself.
So you chose not to put ads on what pages?
Actually, on all pages. I only have ads on posts right now. So my front page, my blog page, my podcast page. I'm going to have a book page on there pretty soon. Not going to show ads on that.
Yeah. So you only have ads in the actual blog content on your site.
Correct. And there's actually certain blog posts where I'm probably going to remove it because there's certain blog posts that generate me affiliate revenue. Mm-hmm. And I have this feeling that like the brands are probably just going to buy ads on my site on that page to prevent me from making conversions with my affiliate link. I mean, that's what I would do actually.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's that strategic, but like if the page is about Shopify versus BigCommerce, and there's ads that can be shown for any sort of e-commerce platform, it's probably going to show on that page because it's going to be topically relevant. So that could definitely hurt your affiliate revenue.
Yeah. I'm just curious, what is your strategy? Because there's a lot of stuff on your site that just can't be monetized, right?
So because I don't have the same level of affiliates and, you know, I'm not driving people to a mini course, I actually allow the ads on a lot more pages on my site. Where I take them off is when I have a sponsored piece of content on the site. So, and that's usually in a sponsored contract, is you don't run ads on the site. Because what will happen is, let's just say I partner with Coca-Cola, right? And I did a campaign with Coca-Cola. For sure, Pepsi ads are going to show on that page. And so I always turn them off on sponsored content, usually for 6 months. The other thing that I have done in the past, I haven't done this lately because I don't write a ton of new content. I usually just regurgitate the old stuff, is that usually when there's a new post, I don't run ads on it for like the first month. And then I put it. So like the older the post is, the more likely there's going to be ads on it because at that point it's not as fresh anymore.
Interesting. What's the rationale behind that? Because Google favors fresher content. So, putting ads on those right away might get you more traffic early on.
It would not. Well, no, I mean, I get more traffic early on. I'm not going to make as much money, right? But on the fresh content, that I would rather have people just see my site. And then like, if they come for the older content, I don't care as much.
I see. Interesting.
It's almost like my fresh content is really for the people who have been reading me for a long time. And so I don't want them to have like I don't think it's a negative experience. I want them to have a better experience. If you come across a post that's 10 years old on my site, either from Pinterest or search, I don't really care if there's a bunch of ads on there at that point. So it's more for my loyal, because I still have a huge chunk of like very loyal readers to the site that come back, read everything, you know, still leave comments, send me emails. And so for them, I'd rather their experience be a little bit better.
Is that process manual for you? Do you have to remember to do it?
Yeah, but when you publish a post, it's like a box. So I should clarify, it's usually the in-content ads, right? The ads that sit on my header and footer don't change. They're almost always there. But anything in the content is where I adjust.
And you actually purposely optimize, if I recall, for keeping people and reading as many pages as possible, which is something that all blogs should do, but you've kind of taken that a step further, right?
Yeah. So that, and that's one of the places where you really can make the money from ads, is that I have these hub pages, which basically drive people to multiple pages. And those pages have a ridiculous amount of ads on them. Because at that point, from the user standpoint, they're committed to clicking around. They want that information. They've kind of been sucked in. And so I'm fine serving them up a lot of advertising, because I know that those pages are going to drive, you know, where my usual page per visitor is like 1.7, right? Or 1.5. But on those pages, it's like 5 or 6, right? Where they're going to click like crazy because they want the rest of the information, and they want the sequel, not the sequel, that's the wrong word, but you know, they want more. And so I want, you know, I don't mind serving those people up a ton of ads. The other thing that we didn't talk about, but this is actually really important, is ad revenue fluctuates based on the seasons. Mm-hmm. And you will see this as well. Certain months of the year, people are not buying ads. Like, advertisers are not buying ads. And so you're going to, don't let that, what I want to say is, don't let that discourage you from running ads if you maybe come on in like a September or February, something like that. Like, some months are just really bad. Whereas if you came on in Q4, like, think about this, like, as an advertiser, right? Everybody's spending money in Q4 on stuff. So your Q4 payouts are going to be really high. And then maybe January or February is going to come around, and they just don't have the ad, they haven't sold enough ads to fill it. So your sites, you're just not going to get paid as much. So don't let that let you down. It is a cyclical revenue cycle. Now, probably depending on what you're writing about, it's probably better or worse, but you probably won't see as big of a dip as some people do. But like, especially if you're in like the lifestyle space, you will see huge dips certain times a year.
So why did you decide to go with AdThrive over Mediavine?
When I got started, Mediavine didn't have the best reputation. They also didn't have some of the same capabilities. Like, the biggest thing with AdThrive that sold me on it was that you could choose the ad placement throughout your site. Like, you could pick to have it on some posts, not have it on other posts. And Mediavine wasn't at that point yet. They were still really new. In fact, I think when I got on AdThrive, Mediavine was so new that like no one I knew was using it. So it just, to me, it wasn't even a thought. It wasn't until probably a year or two after I was on AdThrive, that Mediavine kind of took over, like, you know, really came out. Before I was on AdThrive, I was on like the Lifetime ad network, which is like related to Lifetime TV. And they, like, when I look at how that experience was, it was so antiquated compared to like how things are today. And they guaranteed a minimum RPM. Like, they basically said, you will always make X this amount, right? And they couldn't, it was like impossible to do, right? Like, they were trying to get people in the network, so they made this crazy promise, and then they couldn't do it. So I was always fighting with them to get, like, and I had a contract with them that said that. It wasn't, you know, just like a verbal thing at a conference. And I ended up, and, you know, I had to go to them if I didn't want ads on certain things. Like, it was all very manual. And so whenever I heard about AdThrive, I was like, ooh, this sounds amazing. Like, it was kind of a no-brainer. And then Mediavine probably came on the scene really strong a year after that.
You know, it was just for fun and for completeness. I actually looked at, you know, those articles at the end of like People magazine. You would know this since you read People.
Yes.
But they're really trashy articles at the
Outbrain.
End. Outbrain. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to use them to advertise an app.
Oh, really? Yeah. You have to have 500,000 page views a month in order to qualify for that. I'm curious, is the payout good for that network?
We used to use them as an advertiser. Like, right. We used to pay for links. I think it's probably pretty decent, because I remember it was actually fairly expensive to buy advertising on there compared to like doing in-app ads and stuff like that. So I think the problem with Outbrain is like, they're so trashy.
I know.
And the other thing too is like, if you think about this, I have that plugin on my site, or maybe it's coded, that, it's your own Outbrain. So it lists articles underneath, like, for people to click on. And to me, I'd rather have people click around than click off to find out, you know, botched celebrity plastic surgery, you know?
Yeah. But sometimes that click can be like tens of dollars, I think.
Yeah.
On Outbrain. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll let you guys, we'll probably do a follow on episode. Maybe catch me in
from
6 months
yacht after he's made all this money on the ad network.
Well, okay. Here's the other thing I forgot to mention. So AdThrive pays out net 30, I believe. Whereas Mediavine, you have to wait 2 months. It's 60 days to get your payout. That's the other downside.
You're right. AdThrive pays 30.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. But I mean, once it starts rolling, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But okay. So I've had some really, so early on is when I did more ads. I've had bad experiences with ad networks where I literally had to fight for the money. And so the sooner that you can get it is always the better. I remember there's this one ad network where I wasn't even displaying the ads. Like I had the code, but it was like hidden behind a bunch of stuff and I was still getting paid for that. Mm-hmm. And I think that ad network went out of business. I will say that Mediavine's a lot more intrusive. It's the most intrusive ad network I've ever used. Like they want access to a whole bunch of stuff about your site, and they make you use their plugin, which God knows what information it's collecting from the plugin, right?
A ton, I'm sure. They're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you are newer, or you, it doesn't matter if you're newer or established and you haven't tried an ad network and you qualify, it's worth testing to see, you know, test it against all the stuff that Steve's testing it against, as far as like email signups, time on site, bounce rate, things like that. It might be a good revenue source for you. I know people who make $500 a month, and that's great because it's $500 more than you had at the beginning of the month. I know people who make $25,000 a month on ad networks, right? So it's definitely something that can help your revenue for your website and give you one more income stream. It's a great way to diversify. And the really nice thing about it is once it's set up, you really don't have to worry about it. So it's truly a passive income stream. So if you haven't tried it, it's worth checking out. It's worth testing it on your site at least for a couple months.
I think so. I think the easiest low-hanging fruit is AdSense. Mm-hmm. Because you can't really plaster your website with ads with AdSense. But I will say that Mediavine, I think, makes over 100x more than AdSense. That's just the scale here. So yeah, the beauty of all this is that you don't have to do any work. And you just get a check. And so there's something beautiful about that. Even if it's a small amount of money, that's kind of what pushed me over the edge. If email signups is a major part of your strategy, I might think about it, but as Tony said, you can control the amount of ads on your site and just look at your metrics. Like I was pleasantly surprised that my bounce rate and my time on site didn't actually change from it. So the only thing that took a hit was email subs, unfortunately. So we'll check back in several months and see if I'm getting less course signups and that sort of thing as a result of that. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. And for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.